Well, hello everyone, my name is Corey, and you're here with me now. Welcome to another edition of Large Old Cup, a stream of consciousness podcast. And from the top, I think I should just apologize for the lack of updates recently. I've been going through some things and some realizations about myself, and I kind of came to some conclusions. So I'll get around to that by once again going to Grant Morrison's book, Super Gods. So as some of you may know, I also have a podcast with my friends Dylan and John where we talk about comic book related things. And I assure you, we're not going to go into comic books for the most part here. It's mainly going to be kind of brief. So Super Gods is a book that Grant Morrison put out around 2010. And it is their book on philosophy and how superheroes are sort of the modern day Greek myths. And he does that through, they do that through discussing the history of characters and the timeline of major comic events like the Gold Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, etc. But also relating that to their personal life. So they talk about their childhood and such like that. And there's a section. It's chapter 17 of the book. The title of the chapter is King Bob, My Life as a Superhero. And in it, Grant sort of reflects on where they were at a particular time in their life. So I'll just read a quick excerpt from that. Having missed out on the tilt-a-whirl of teenage life, I was tormented by regrets. I felt my own life had grown stale and repetitive. My personality seemed crudely fashioned and often ill-fitting. I was thoroughly sick of chronic vague depression and chose to treat myself as another poorly conceived and barely developed character in need of a revamp. After much agonizing, I split from Judy after 9 years together. I'd made up my mind to accept complete surrender to a process of transformation, an ego-dissolving ordeal that I felt sure would give me new things to write about, new things to say, and a new way to see the world. Growing up, I'd immersed myself in the life stories of Byron and Shelley, Rimbaud and Verlaine and the Beats, and knew by heart the biographies of the 60s psychonauts like Kesey, Timothy Leary, and John Lilly. They were perhaps dubious role models in my project of reinvention. I set about debugging my glitchy personality with Robert Anton Wilson's quantum psychology, NLP acting classes, taekwondo lessons, and yoga sessions. So I feel like I've been kind of going through that myself, and I feel like a part of that has been the last maybe 20 years, or at least a good portion of it. I guess the point of the matter is I've been really sick of not liking who I am. And a lot of that has to do with when I moved away from home when I was in my early 20s, I was hit very quickly with a sort of tidal wave of realizations that my childhood was really full of trauma and abuse and not really good things. And it broke me for a while. And the ramifications of that and also an untreated bipolar disorder only really added to that feeling of being broken. So as I was forced to take a look at my life and where things were and how I was standing on them, I just, again, had these realizations that I didn't really like who I am. And I'm on this process of the relaunch, I guess. And what I mean by that is, so I work a regular job. It is a corporate job. And in it, for the last several years, I've been doing my best to try to climb the ranks within that job and to get promoted and be seen as an important and an executive. And my therapist and I were discussing it one session, and he just said, well, why do you care? And I said, well, that's what you're supposed to do. And he's like, well, where did you get that idea that you're supposed to excel and move forward all the time? And I realized that was a product of my upbringing. So like even now, you know, almost what, 10, 14, 15 years since moving away from home, that I'm still very much a slave to those ideas of progress, of having to move forward constantly. And I realized kind of like, oh, I've been pretending to be this thing that I'm not, or trying to pretend to be this thing that I'm not, in hopes of getting somewhere, and I'm not getting there. And if I'm not going to get there by pretending to be something I'm not, then I want to at least not get there by being who I am. So I started looking back at, you know, who I used to be. Like, what was it about me that used to be this thing? And it got me thinking about, you know, in my 17-year-old me, and what 17-year-old me would think about modern day me, you know, 20 years later. And I was a punk kid. I was brave and rebellious and did what I want and didn't care what anybody thought about it. And I was fearless. And I realized that I have been scared a lot in my adult life. I would tell people my default feeling was either sadness or fear. And like, I don't want to be like that. So, you know, I needed to get back in touch with that part of myself, get back in that touch of the brave me, the fearless me, the me that didn't care about reputations or people's opinions of me, and did what I wanted and chased after things I was passionate about. And wanted to be around people who inspired me in positive ways. And I had that realization, and it was compacted with I was listening to some music to try to put me back in that headspace. And I had those moments where you listen to a song enough, and you know, you've probably heard it your entire life, but then one day a lyric hits you in a way that it has never hit you before. It resonates with you in a way that it never had previously. And for me, that was the song Smash It Up by The Damned. I'd been getting back into The Damned since I watched a documentary about them called Don't You Wish We Were Dead. And as I was listening to the song, the main lyric that's repeated often is, "We've been crying now for way too long, and now we're going to dance to a different song." And I thought, that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. That's it. That's the motto. That's the motif. That's the thing to build on. That's the foundation of this relaunch, is I have been crying now for too long. I've been listening to this song over and over and over again in my head, and it's not doing me any good anymore. You know, it just makes me sad, and it makes me depressed, and it makes me miserable, and it makes me become this person I don't want to be. So, well, now it's time that we dance to a different song. And it got to the point for me that I realized, like, I needed to get that tattooed on me. So last Wednesday, I met up with my tattoo artist, Anna Banana, from Evolve Tattoos. And Anna wrote down that lyric from about the inside of my left elbow down to the wrist. So it goes the whole length of my forearm. And it just says, "And now we're going to dance to a different song." And I built upon that as well. You know, I'd been wanting to get pierced since I was like a teenager, but you know, always that fear of like, well, I have to keep up appearances and I have to look professional. But, you know, again, I've been working in a corporate setting for like 10 years and it's not fucking done anything for me for the most part. So, yeah, fuck it. Last Saturday, I went to Evolved again and I met this piercer named Javi, and Javi pierced my nostril twice. And then yesterday was Friday the 13th. I went to Evolved again because they were having, you know, these little flash tattoos for $13. And I met Kyle, who is an amazing artist that I've seen. And after talking with him, I'm likely going to just give him my entire right leg and let him just do what he wants because he is a big fan of biomech art like H.R. Giger. So I want him to just, you know, from the hip down, just, you know, make me look like a weird mechanical organic monster in the way of the xenomorphs, you know. But anyway, I got a small tombstone with the number 13 in Roman numerals on it. I've started painting my nails black again, or dark blue in this case. I've been dressing more comfortably for myself. I've been listening to music more, and I feel better for it. You know, I'm not saying that it's like 100% cure, but it's really helped in a lot of instances. And I do feel braver, and I do feel more confident, and I do feel like there are things that I want, and like I'm not afraid to go after them, and I'm not afraid to fight for them. You know, like I know what I want my life to be, and I just need to get it. I need to go after it. You know, I need to put in the work and the time and see what happens, you know, be present. So I told all this to my therapist, and my therapist is a big supporter of it. He's a really nice guy. And we were talking about other things going on in my life, and you know, he's just 100% supportive of me and whatever it is I want to do. And he's been giving me a lot of really good advice on how to handle people and handle situations and complicated matters. And I'm very thankful for that kind of guidance. To read another aspect to kind of build onto this with what Grant's, you know, stated here, and another excerpt from the same chapter. On my first night in a dull hotel near the airport, I celebrated this personal rebirth by taking an electric razor to hair that was undeniably thinning. It felt ritualistic. The fear of going bald and becoming immediately unattractive was faced with a drift of brown hair on the floor. In the mirror was a blank character design, a smiley face. I can now revamp myself as I had Animal Man, the Doom Patrol, and Batman. I was becoming a superhero. It didn't begin as well as I'd hoped. Culture shock, dripping in the heat, and unable to move in the ramshackle Dream City streets of New Delhi without attracting 1,000 touts offering water, shoe shines, or ear cleaning services. Yeah. It's, I'd had that realization a while ago. Like, well, I started shaving my head probably in like 2016, I think. And it was the kind of that same mood of like, I'm tired of feeling like I'm ugly, and so I'm getting rid of this. And that, you know, and I'll be honest with you, those feelings of feeling ugly still kind of, you know, present themselves. But, you know, 17-year-old me didn't care that I thought I was ugly. You know, there are people in my life that I knew liked me. So why did I care if other people, if strangers didn't like me? If strangers thought I was ugly, if strangers didn't feel like I deserved things, that's not my problem. That's their problem. You know, the only thing I can do is to get a, you know, keep my head held high and keep moving forward and keep going about my day. Another big motivator for me is this video that I see almost every day of this this Japanese man giving sort of life advice. And in it, he says, you can't think about the past because you're going to get angry. You know, why did I do the things that I did? And you can't think about the future because it's only going to build to worry, because it's like, well, what if it doesn't work out the way that I want it to? You have to stake your life in the present moment. And so that's why I've been really working on, too, is not dwelling too much into the past, even though I've made mistakes and I've fucked up things. And not thinking too hard into the future, wondering, you know, what could be. For me, it's just remaining confident and optimistic, but also just living the day that's ahead of me, you know, and living that way. To kind of go back to the whole comic book rebirth thing, It feels like it's a step backwards, right? You know, because I'm talking about at 37 years old taking on the mentality I had at 17. Like, that seems like a step backwards, right? I mean, it just does mathematically. But that happens, especially in the world of comic books. You know, to give an example, and I promised I wouldn't go too much into comics here, and I will keep this as brief as I can. Around 2010, DC did a full line relaunch called the New 52, where the whole idea was like, we're going to take brand new takes on your favorite characters, and the previous continuity doesn't exist anymore, so these are blank slabs. And they did a lot of controversial things, like breaking up, you know, Superman and Lois Lane, or, you know, completely changing the character of Green Arrow so that he was closer to Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. But, you know, that ran for, God, 6-7 years. And then, you know, DC relaunched Rebirth, quite literally, called it Rebirth. And in it, they brought back a lot of those core aspects of those characters. You know, the Superman that had been around for 7 years, well, he wasn't the main Superman anymore. They found out that the Superman from the previous continuity was existing already on this Earth, that he is some sort of a time paradox, dimensional crisis or what have you, left him there. So he and Lois were living in Smallville, raising a son together. You know, and Green Arrow realized that, you know, the way he'd been living isn't the way he wanted to live. And he started to go back to those roots that, you know, the Green Arrow of the 1970s and 80s had, of being like this really left-leaning social justice kind of character, you know, interested in fighting for the little guy. And I suppose that that's what it's been. Like, I would like to write off the last several years as, you know, well, that's New 52, Corey. That was Corey in a way that, like, oh, we're going to present him in a brand new way that you've never seen before. And then, like, much like a lot of the New 52 characters, it just didn't stick. You know, the characterization was wrong. The stories were bland and uninteresting. And so now I suppose this is my rebirth moment, where I'm taking back those core aspects of my character and going back to a version of me that had existed prior that I feel like people resonated with better and I was happier with. I've been, like I said, it's been really interesting. I'm going to have a lot of time on my hands in the next week or so, and it's going to be intense to see what I'm going to do with it. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? You know, it's an opportunity to, you know, it takes 2 weeks to build a habit, or to break a habit, really. But so maybe that's what the 2 weeks are going to be, is about me building new habits, building habits that are closer aligned to the version of me that I want to be. You know, that punk kid who is 37 years old now. That punk kid who is has a shaved head and has gray streaks in his beard, you know? But God damn it, I got 19 tattoos, and 17-year-old me sure as fuck didn't, so we got that going for us at least. I guess that's the thing I just kind of want to reiterate. I know what I want. And I think that for the first time in my life, I'm serious about it. You know, and that's been my whole life. I've not really known what I wanted. When I grew up in my background, it was a lot of, you know, competing interests with other people, and they seemed to always win out. So I got used to not getting what I wanted. So after a while, I just stopped trying. And it's a new sensation for me, and it's a new feeling for me, to know what I want and to not be afraid to go after it. So we'll see how that works out, you know. We'll see how it goes. But until then, you know, I've been eating better. I've been taking care of myself better. I've not been wallowing in self-pity nearly as much. I've been making plans for things. I've been running games again. Like, doing stuff that I like to do. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm also going to have a renewed interest in doing a better job of promoting myself and my work. For the longest time, I've never really cared if I had a lot of listeners. Because to me, this has more been about, like, is this good for me to do? Like, I'm going to do this and take care of myself and enjoy this process. And I've talked about it before, process versus product, like a couple episodes ago. And I think the truth of the matter is that I would like to have listeners. I'd like to have people who listen and want to comment and want to engage and, you know, kind of get out there and see what, if anybody relates to that. Because if there's anything, I'd love to be able to find these people who can relate to the need of the rebirth or the relaunch. I was talking to a friend of mine about it recently because they're in their own process of doing their own relaunch and embracing these old aspects of themselves that they lost. Because, I mean, I think that's really the thing about it is, like, life is constantly moving forward and things just fall off, either because you're busy or you're tired or you don't have the money for it or you're just fucking depressed, you know? And that's it, you know? That's what we've been working towards, is trying to go back and pick up those parts that we dropped that we didn't really feel like were that important to us, but turns out they were absolutely crucial. It's like missing pieces from an IKEA set, you know? Like, you think that it's going to be fine if you got a couple of screws that are missing or one of those little wooden pegs broke off when you tried to move it the wrong way. And you're like, ah, this will work fine. I'm sure it's going to be A-okay. And then, like, the shit just starts falling apart after a while. And you're like, turns out it was crucial. And yeah, turns out the punk kid in me was important. He was really important. I let a lot of fear get in the way of things. And I'm not saying that by being brave is the absence of fear, because the fear is still there. I mean, that's a cliche at this point, that being brave is doing the thing that fear wants you to not do. So it's, you know, that fear is still there, but I'm way more comfortable with the fact of having to fight through it than I used to be. I'm not really scared of change anymore, I guess is what I'm saying. It's been a really weird year for me. I lost my pet cat, and I've been going through some interesting changes and what have you. But I feel like coming out of the other end for it, I will be better for it, because it's made me confront a lot of things about myself. And I don't know if I ever would have gotten there if it wasn't for this period of time. So before we let time get too far away from us, let's talk about some recommendations, right? Because I wanted to do that. I wanted to get into recommendations, recommending music and stuff. And now that I'm getting way more into music, I'd love to hit some of those recommendations. So, of course, I want to recommend The Damned. I actually bought tickets to see them in May of this upcoming year, which will be great, you know, to see legends. I mean, The Damned were the first punk band to put out a record. They were the first punk band to tour America. They were the first punk band to play at CBGB's. Those are accolades that the Sex Pistols didn't have, the Ramones didn't have, and they're in New York where CBGB's is. The Clash didn't have, but it was The Damned. You know, I remember being a kid and, like, learning about punk music and learning about the history of, like, the genre in the 1977 when the shit was brand new and nobody really knew what it was, and it was completely free form. And the Damned sort of personified that. You know, the Sex Pistols were kind of fashion punks. You know, they looked the part of what punk ended up being. The Ramones really nailed the three-chord song. I mean, if you listen to one Ramones song, you're probably going to have heard about 10 other ones at the same time. And then the Clash were these, like, you know, very politically minded working class geniuses. But the Damned, man, they were freeform as hell. Like, if you looked at that band, you saw, like, Rat Scabies on drums, and, like, Rat played super fast and very chaotic. And you have on the bass originally, but then guitar, it was Captain Sensible, who's a living, breathing cartoon character, whether he's wearing this big furry costume or a beret and a tutu, and just a genius guitar player. And then you have Dave Vanian up front, and Dave Vanian is a goth, you know, like he looks like a vampire, and they look like they're in four separate bands, but somehow they're in the same band. So, you know, there was always the thing, like, you know, the joke always that, are you a Sex Pistols person or a Ramones person? Like, the snotty kind of, like, intellectuals would say, I'm into the Clash. But it was sort of like the weirdos and creeps that would always respond, nah, man, it's the Damned. So for me, it's the Damned. So if you've never listened to the Damned before, you cannot go wrong with the first album, Neat, 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 or Damn, Damn, Damned, and the song Neat, 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 or Born to Kill. New Rose, great song there. Of course, the song that gave me this sort of push into the relaunch is Smash It Up from their album Machine Gun Etiquette, which was a very important album for them because it was their first album without their original guitarist who wrote all of the songs from Damn, Damn, Damned. So that's, you know, that's a big recommendation for you there. On the other end of the spectrum, somebody else who was active at the time and was also released an album shortly after The Damned is Elvis Costello and The Attractions. And Elvis Costello is, you know, was this snotty, angry, nerdy looking guy who wrote really brilliant songs that somehow managed to piss off a lot of people as well as just be really super catchy. And then, of course, he matured as he got older. And I'm actually going to go see Elvis Costello and his original keyboard player, Steve Naive, in March, I believe, in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So yeah, those would be, and of course, if you're going to listen to an Elvis Costello song, I would probably recommend the controversial song is Radio Radio, where Elvis Costello very famously got banned from Saturday Night Live because he was not supposed to play that song because it's critical of the music industry, but he did anyway. That's not a bad one. I would probably recommend I Don't Want to Go to Chelsea because the fucking bass line in that song is ridiculous. And it has, like, the perfect snotty Elvis Costello line, which is, they call her Natasha, but she looks like Elsie. You know, like, just incredibly judgmental. It's very Morrissey-esque because Morrissey always seemed to really be judgmental about how women looked. But that's really going to do it all for me. I hope this was beneficial. I hope you're being recklessly brave and delusionally confident. Because I feel like for the first time in my life, despite saying it, I actually feel it. So, yeah, be fucking recklessly brave. Until next time, goodbye.